air, surface, and subsurface threats. Our correspondent Mahdi Abbasian was with us for the details.
This destroyer is a domestically produced vessel or frigate, which was produced thanks to the knowledge and efforts of Iranian youth. And it also uses cutting-edge technology. It has got new equipment compared to the previous destroyers that Iran has had, which we call them the Moj class frigates. However, this one is more improved, it's more modern, it's modernized, and among the unique features of this destroyer is, in addition to the torpedoes and rockets that it carries, is top of this destroyer, that is the radar system of this destroyer, which enables detection of several, several objects that are getting close to it. So it gives it, a preemptive, advantage over, the enemy in case of a threat.
Iran has condemned the U.S. for providing an unconditional support for Israel, saying that Washington is the main culprit behind the regime's massacre in Gaza.
Unfortunately, the U.S. administration was practically part of the war and maybe responsible for the whole thing. And had the U.S. not been there, we believe that the war would never happen. I mean, this is how the U.S. influences the Zionist regime. They could have prevented this, and they could have prevented all those crimes that committed in the 48 days, all the crimes against the defenseless people in Gaza.
Kanani added the U.S. administration provided political support for Israel at the United Nations and prevented the war from coming to an end. The spokesman made the comments during his weekly news briefing in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Kanani noted that the biggest help Washington can provide is to stop its unflinching support for Israel. The Iranian diplomat reiterated that none of the agendas presented by the U.S. has served as a solution to the issue of Palestine. He said that such agendas have never been based on justice and reality. Iran's president says it is up to the residents of Gaza to decide about the future, and the U.S. has no right whatsoever to meddle in this process. Ibrahim Raisi made the remarks in a phone conversation with his Turkish counterpart, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. He described the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas as the legitimate and legal government of Gaza, chosen through popular votes. Raisi underlined that any intervention by Washington in the decision-making process for Gaza is doomed to fail. The Iranian president said the U.S. is accomplices in the Israeli regime's heinous crimes against Gazans and added any interference by the U.S. government amounts to the continuation of these brutalities. He said that Washington has been disgraced and discredited in the eyes of the public around the world. Israel's prison service says 39 Palestinian detainees have been released under truce agreements between Tel Aviv and Hamas. The inmates are the third group of Palestinians who have been released since the ceasefire came into effect on Friday. This after Hamas released 13 Israelis and 4 foreign nationals. In the first 2 days of the exchange, a total of 26 Israelis, 78 Palestinians, 14 Thais, and 1 Filipino were released. Hamas says in total, 50 captives are to be freed and returned for 150 Palestinian women and children in Israeli jails under the truce deal. The resistance group says it is ready to release all captives if all Palestinian prisoners are released. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it is seeking to extend a 4-day truce, which came into effect in Gaza on Friday. In a statement, Hamas said that it would like the ceasefire to be extended if the Israeli regime makes serious efforts to release more Palestinian prisoners. The movement added that it would seriously proceed with a prisoner swap deal with Tel Aviv. The truce took effect in Gaza last Friday, giving Palestinians in the besieged territory a brief respite from Israel's 7-week brutal war. The ceasefire was followed by a prisoner exchange agreed by the two sides. Civilians have borne the brunt of Israel's relentless attacks on homes, hospitals and schools since October the 7th. Humanitarian aid has been arriving in Gaza as part of the four-day ceasefire. On the third day of the ceasefire, however, people are complaining about insufficient fuel and are demanding more aid.
We've been waiting here since they announced the start of the truce to fill up on cooking gas. But unfortunately, the quantities of gas that entered are very small, barely enough for the city of Rafah and Khan Yunis in the south. Here, we are standing for the second day, but have not reached our turn, and perhaps they will end the remaining 2 days of the truce without us getting gas.
We are suffering greatly. Our gas cylinders are completely empty and there is no gas in our homes. We waited overnight here and did not get anything. We have heard that some places, such as the southern parts, are provided with fuel, so we came here, but we have not gotten any yet. So we are appealing to the authorities to find a solution to provide us with cooking gas and fuel.
Israel has released 117 Palestinian prisoners during the first 3 days of the four-day ceasefire, most of them women and children. Among those freed are 14-year-old Mohammed Sabah and 16-year-old Saeed Abu Samra, who were held under administrative detention for 1 to 2 years. Now they recall what they suffered ahead of their release and hail the resistance for their freedom.
The situation is very difficult in jail. Mainly in the last period after the resistance operation, more strict measures have been adopted by the occupation's prison administration. We have not been informed that we will be released. The jailers took us claiming we would be meeting with prison officials, and then after hours, we knew we were part of the resistance swap deal. I cannot describe my feelings, and we hope all the prisoners would be released.
The Israeli prison authorities confiscated all the prisoners' belongings, radios, food. We were not allowed to call our families or watch TV that usually we do for an hour or less. They only left mattresses to sleep on inside the cells. I cannot believe that we are free. We really thank the resistance. We will never forget what they have done, and we are with them till victory and end of occupation.
May Allah have mercy on the martyrs in Gaza. There's nothing to say, but may Allah be with the resistance side.
Targeted Palestinian refugee camps by airstrikes and artillery shelling during more than 7 weeks of bloodshed in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli massacre in the Shati refugee camp is a case in point. One of its residents gave his account about the Israeli carnage.
My father and my nephew were martyred 14 days ago. 14 days ago, they were lying in front of the door of the house, and my brothers were wounded. And there are martyrs here, our neighbor, and Abu Uday al-Atqam. And there are strangers, martyrs that we do not know. I'm here after suffering for 2 days, and when the truce came today with the help of a young man, I was able to move my father's body and bear him inside my house. There is no ambulance, no Red Cross. There is no communication network, no mobile. There is no lighting or water. Our lives have turned into hell. Here with my own hands, me and my little brother dug a grave and buried my father and my little nephew. What is our fault? We are neither Hamas or Fatah, and we have never had a weapon in our lives. What is our fault for this to happen to us? You're not fighting Hamas, you're fighting Palestinian people. After 14 days, I was able to take my brother to the European hospital in Rafah. My brother is crying bitterly for his son.
Israeli forces have arrested around 3,200 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since the start of the war in Gaza. That's according to the Palestinian Commission of Prisoners and Ex-Prisoners Affairs. The commission says the number of Palestinians held in Israeli jails has surpassed 7,000. They include 200 children. Hundreds of the detainees are sick, with some of them in need of urgent medical treatment. The regime intensified its raids and arrest campaign across the West Bank after launching the Gaza war on October the 7th. Since then, nearly 340 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli settlers or forces across the occupied territories. Three young Palestinian students have been shot near a university campus in the U.S. state of Vermont. Hisham Ali Awartani, Tahsin Nail Ali, and Kinan Mohsen Abdel sustained injuries in the armed attack which took place on Saturday evening in the city of Burlington. The Palestinian men survived the shooting incident, but two of them are currently in intensive care. According to reports, the students were wearing the traditional Palestinian headdress and speaking Arabic when they were attacked. The families of the victims have called on U.S. officials to investigate the incident as a hate crime and to bring the shooter to justice. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry has also condemned the attack, urging U.S. officials to quickly arrest the criminal. Police in Burlington have not identified or apprehended the assailants yet. More rallies have been held worldwide in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza, with protesters calling for a permanent ceasefire. In France, thousands demonstrated in Lyon demanding an end to Israel's massacre of civilians in the Gaza Strip. In the Spanish city of Barcelona, people took to the streets on Sunday, voicing their support for Palestinians while urging the extension of the four-day truce. Americans in New York City also gathered in Manhattan, disrupting Black Friday shopping and chanting slogans against Israel. Police arrested over 30 people during the demonstration. Thousands also protested in Morocco's Casablanca, as well as the beachside city of Durban in South Africa. Demonstrators everywhere are calling for an end to the Israeli aggression against Palestinians.
A four-day pause on Israel's latest genocidal bombing campaign on Gaza failed to slow protests on what is typically North America's busiest shopping weekend of the year. People from all across the country took to Parliament Hill, saying that they won't be fooled by the temporary pause, nor by the propaganda disseminated by Canadian media.
We know that there have been prohibitions in Canadian media, including places like CBC, on even using the word Palestine in reporting. There have been memos that have been linked around of directions to journalists not to interview people talking about ceasefire or to use that language. There are so many prohibitions on people in just the journalism class being able to speak out.
Amid a crackdown on dissent and faced with the threat of dismissal or suspension from jobs, many continue to assume all risk to voice unwavering support for Palestine.
This is about people in Gaza right now who are being killed in their homes, who are being told to run and then are being bombed in the places that they're running to. That's all that this is about, and our country's ability to call for a ceasefire. Whatever we are getting punished for saying or doing, it's nothing compared to what the people of Gaza are going through right now.
Young organizers of the historic march through Ottawa say that the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is all too confident that the protests will soon subside, and say that international support for Palestinians is more crucial now than ever.
The Canadian officials think that with this humanitarian pause for 4 days, that, you know, our demands are going to stop, or that somehow they have answered our demands. But they have not. The real question is what will happen after these 4 days. Gaza will continue to be under siege as it has been for the past 16 years. And so the real question now is how many more people must die before our officials call for a permanent ceasefire and an end to the siege on Gaza and an end to this occupation.
Our voices are not being heard across the country, so we are here to stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people and make sure that the working class and the labor and trade union movement are entirely backing the Palestinian National Liberation Movement.
Demonstrators say no business as usual for as long as the genocide continues to be carried out with Canadian complicity. They now have their sights set on Wednesday, when people here and around the world will carry out actions for International Day of Solidarity with Palestine. Camila Escalante, Ottawa.
In a remarkable display of unity and solidarity, the Palestine Freedom March took place in the heart of Lahore, just a few miles from the U.S. consulate. The proximity of the march to the U.S. consulate added significance to it, as the rally sought to convey message not only to the international community, but specifically to the United States, a key supporter of Israel in the war on Gaza. The convergence of the people from different backgrounds symbolized a shared commitment to the Palestinian cause, underscoring the gravity of the situation in the besieged Gaza Strip.
People around the world, including Pakistanis, are on the streets and condemning the U.S. and its illegitimate child Israel for their actions in Gaza. Due to increasing public resentment, the U.S. and Israel are under tremendous public pressure, and the real face of the Zionist regime has been exposed in the international community. No oppressor can resist this public pressure anymore.
The event not only highlighted the immediate concern for Gaza, but also exemplified the broader call for justice and peace in the region.
The Palestine issue is a matter of honor for the Muslim community now. The events of Karbala are being repeated in Gaza. They are killing men, women, and children, considering Palestinians to be alone. But Israel and the U.S. should not forget that they are not alone. The whole of humanity stands with the people of Palestinians.
United in their demand for peace and justice, the participants of Palestine Freedom March fervently called for a lasting ceasefire in Gaza.
The ongoing protest rallies, boycott of pro-Israeli products, and systematic fundraising initiatives are the examples of how deeply the Pakistani society is committed to helping Palestinian people who are confronting Israeli aggression in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Lahore.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
all of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel. Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the organizers of the International Congress in honor of Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai on November 8, 2023. The late Allama Tabatabai was one of the exceptional wonders of our seminaries in the last centuries. Another dimension of this noble man's scientific endeavors was the area of training students. He trained philosophers such as Martyr Mutahhiri, Martyr Beheshti, and other more recent scholars such as the late Mr. Misbah Yazdi. These are the kinds of people that he taught. He revived philosophy and created philosophers. Now, it is also interesting to note that most of his students, or many of his students, played key roles in the Islamic Revolution. In the Assembly of Experts, many of those who wrote the Constitution were students of the late Mr. Tabatabai. A number of the well-known martyrs in the Islamic Revolution had also been the students of Mr. Tabatabai. Martyr Mutahhiri was his student. Martyr Beheshti was his student. Martyr Quddusi was his student. And Martyr Agha Sheikh Ali Haydari Nahavandi was his student. These are two qualities that the late Mr. Tabatabai possessed that grabbed my attention and draw me to him very much. One was Mr. Tabatabai's exceptional intellectual jihad.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
He lived at the time of the invasion of foreign imported ideologies and doctrines such as Marxism, and also people who created and spread doubts. These people weren't trying to present a certain school of thought. They were creating and spreading doubts. This is the same thing that the late Mr. Mutahhiri was working against. The books he wrote were often in response to the doubts that were being spread at that time. In the midst of these events, the late Mr. Tabatabai, rahmatullah alayh, was able to form a strong intellectual base using an active, offensive approach. With both his book, The Principles of Philosophy, and also with his explanatory statements, this exegesis is filled with a sea of political and social knowledge. His book of commentary, Al-Mizan, is also about political and social issues that had not even been raised at that time. Today, when we look at these issues, we see that they are also related to the present day. This active and offensive intellectual base was created by the late Mr. Tabatabai. This is one point.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States. Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it has agreed to a four-day humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip. The movement says the truce, mediated by Qatar and Egypt, includes exchange of Israeli captives with Palestinian prisoners held by the regime. Hamas said in a statement 50 Israeli captives, all women and children, will be released in exchange for the freedom of 150 Palestinian women and children. Under the agreement, hundreds of trucks of humanitarian aid, including fuel and medicine, will be brought to all areas of the Gaza Strip. During the truce, the Israeli regime is to refrain from arresting or attacking anyone all across the besieged Palestinian territory. Also, air traffic will completely stop during the truce in the southern Gaza Strip. In the north, however, air traffic will stop for 6 hours a day.
Truce will be significant for humanitarian aid because it will allow for a large number of humanitarian aid trucks and convoys to enter the Gaza Strip. But I must add that the number of humanitarian aid or the amount of that aid that's going to be allowed in is nowhere close to what was the regular, let's say, flow of humanitarian aid.
Israel's cabinet has also voted in favor of the agreement. The war cabinet has reportedly been split on the issue for weeks. Some hardline figures believe that Israel's relentless bombing of the Gaza Strip was the best way to weaken Hamas and to free the captives. Others believe that Israel must get what it can now, however unsatisfactory.
Israel is failing military, and that's why it's in agony, and it wants a ceasefire to reset, because its ground-invading forces are failing on the ground.
The agreement would reflect a change of course by Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his war cabinet. Right from the beginning of the war, Netanyahu announced that he was pursuing two main objectives from the war. The regime was trying to isolate and eliminate Hamas by destroying its military and governing capabilities. Netanyahu also promised to protect Israel from Gaza-based threats and attacks. Furthermore, he said his cabinet would free the captives without compromising with Hamas resistance movement. None of those objectives have been realized. Hamas has suffered some casualties, but its military capabilities, including its network of bunkers and tunnels, as well as its ability to launch retaliatory attacks on Israel forces, have largely been left untouched. Hamas and the resistance ideology is deeply rooted in the hearts and minds of Palestinian people in Gaza. Netanyahu had to abandon its uncompromising stance with regards to the captives. His cabinet was ultimately forced to strike a deal with Hamas in order to free them.
Well, absolutely. I don't think that the Israelis would have accepted to go into this kind of a truce without being dealt devastating blows by the resistance and by Hamas. Of course, the Israelis found themselves unable to achieve anything on ground, and they saw that this is a good thing for them to do. They are not doing it for the sake of humanity.
We can see from their statements in the Israeli Knesset that any truce would be a concession, and that proves that they have achieved nothing. But that's not enough. Despite the truce, all forms of resistance must continue.
Netanyahu's shift may have been critically influenced by his personal encounter with captives' families after weeks of refusal to meet them. Netanyahu and his Likud party have lost the trust and confidence of most voters.
Gather here in request
that the one to be blamed is our prime minister, that he has to go down and leave his office and let another government to rule in Israel and try to make it better.
Internationally, the regime has also come under immense pressure. Thousands of people have held countless rallies against the Israeli regime and its bloodbath in Gaza, and calls war growing to refer Israel's genocide in Gaza to international criminal courts.
As the world is watching a genocide unfolding in the Gaza Strip, another massacre is taking place against the Palestinian people in the occupied West Bank. Since the Israeli offensive began on the Gaza Strip on October 7, the violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank has also escalated. Israeli forces have killed dozens of Palestinians there. The Israelis have cut off Palestinian villages and cities from one another by closures and settler attacks. That has resulted in a near standstill of commercial activities of Palestinians and their movements. Furthermore, armed settlers backed by regime troops have blocked entrances to most Palestinian villages, towns, and cities through military checkpoints, earth mounds, cement blocks, and iron gates. During the current offensive, the rate of violence practiced by settlers against Palestinians has escalated. That includes preventing them from accessing their lands, attacking them while picking olives, expelling them from their fields, and harassing Palestinian moving on roads.
We used to have problems with the settlers, but after the war in Gaza, they want to kill all of us.
After the war, the situation changed. They started attacking our houses. They didn't used to come to our houses. They started attacking them and the people inside them.
Preventing access to water and food needs, especially in the hurting communities, is done by Israel with the aim of displacing the Palestinian communities in those areas.
We have the same occupation, and we are the same people. Geography does not, you know, divide people. We are just the same. We are all targets. Whenever you are a Palestinian, you are a terrorist, and you should be killed. People are killed for no reason and for nothing. So, you know, this is complete genocide. This is complete war crimes that should be stopped immediately, right now.
Just days ago, Jordan warned against Israel's plans to displace Palestinians living in the occupied West Bank to the Arab Kingdom, saying that Amman would consider the move, quote, a declaration of war. The warning refers to a decades-old plan dating back to before the creation of Israel in 1948. This transfer plan, originally formulated by Zionist militias operating in Palestine and then endorsed by the regime after its creation, calls for mass expulsion of Palestinians to Egypt's Sinai Desert. After Israel's occupation of the West Bank in 1967, the idea of pushing Palestinians towards Jordan became included in the transfer plan.
There's also been a sharp increase in settler violence and takeover of land across the West Bank. Since 7 October, nearly 1,000 Palestinians from at least 15 herding communities have been forced from their homes. In the context of the coercive environment they live in, the displacement of these communities may amount to the forcible transfer of a population, which is a grave breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention.
Before the start of Israel's genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, the occupied West Bank was already witnessing the deadliest year on record for Palestinians. The worsening violence in the West Bank has fueled concerns that the Palestinian territory could become a third front in a wider war, in addition to the regime's northern separation line, where clashes with Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah have taken place. Over the past 4 weeks, Israeli forces have raided Palestinian territories in the occupied West Bank in a bid to quell a rising resistance against the regime there. The Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank has now turned into a hotbed for resistance against Israel. The Jenin camp, with its high population density, narrow space, and adjacent homes, is very similar to the Gaza Strip. Hundreds of Palestinian fighters present a significant challenge to Israel's aim of destroying the military and political capabilities of resistance groups there. Israeli attacks on Jenin and Tulkarm are aimed at ending the resistance in the northern occupied West Bank so that it does not extend to the other cities. The regime has destroyed roads leading to vital institutions and centers that citizens need in their daily lives in those areas. The attacks on the northern West Bank are aimed at ensuring any future arrangements within Israel's vision of expanding settlements. But the October 7th resistance operation against the Israeli regime has proven that the regime cannot protect settlers.
The Israeli occupation policy today is that you need to accept being killed by the Israeli soldiers and the Israeli settlers without speaking. It is a gag order. They don't want the victim to speak up. They don't want the victim to condemn their murder of the victim itself. So that is the policy of the Israeli occupation, colonial, dictator regime.
An Israeli minister has claimed that dropping a nuclear bomb on the blockaded Gaza Strip is an option. The Israeli Heritage Minister Eliyahu made the remarks in an interview with Radio Kol Barama. Eliyahu also insisted that allowing any humanitarian aid into Gaza was wrong, claiming there is no such thing as uninvolved civilians in Gaza, calling the innocent civilian population in Gaza Nazis. Following the remarks, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu suspended the minister from cabinet meetings. Hamas resistance movement, however, pointed out that Eliyahu's remarks were reflective of the Netanyahu regime's genocidal mindset.
The statement by what is called the Israeli Heritage Minister in the Zionist cabinet that throwing a nuclear weapon on the Gaza Strip is one of the solutions didn't come out of nowhere, but it is an expression on the level of decadence, Nazism and sadism that takes place in the minds of the cabinet of the occupying entity that is based on murder and genocide.
The remarks also drew condemnation from around the Arab world, and Iran called for a swift international response. The United Nations Security Council and the International Atomic Energy Agency must take immediate and uninterrupted action to disarm this barbaric and apartheid regime. Russia has joined a chorus of condemnation that was sparked over controversial remarks made by an Israeli minister about the regime's openness to a nuclear strike in the Gaza Strip. Maria Zakharova, Russia's foreign ministry spokeswoman, said that the main issue was that Israel appeared to have admitted that it had nuclear weapons. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and other Arab states have all denounced the comments. Arab League Secretary General Ahmed Abul Qait has said the remarks revealed that Israel possesses nuclear weapons, which is an open secret. He also added that the comments also confirm the truth of the racist view Israelis hold against Palestinians.
Israeli forces raid Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, the largest medical complex in the Strip, where thousands have taken shelter. The spokesman for the Ministry of Health in Gaza has said that there are only doctors, patients, and displaced people inside Al-Shifa Hospital. Regime troops entered the hospital's emergency department building while tanks surrounded the medical complex. The Israeli military said it is conducting the operation in a cult-specific area. Hamas resistance movement has said that Israel's leaders and the U.S. presidents were fully responsible for the consequences of the regime's raid on Shifa Hospital. Al-Shifa has been denied urgently needed supplies of medicines and fuel. Fuel shortages threaten the function of generators which run vital equipment like ventilators and dialysis machines. The World Health Organization has described the situation of the hospital as dire and perilous. The hospital's last generator has also run out of fuel, which has led to the death of several premature babies and wounded patients.
I am standing here at the ICU at Al-Shifa Medical Complex. This department is suffering after the shutdown of electricity due to lack of fuel. The health ministry warned about the lack of fuel. These people here were denied life support devices. They may lose their lives because there are no support machines or artificial respiration devices. Around 29 patients are facing this tragedy.
Israel alleges that Hamas has built its headquarters in bunkers and tunnels under the Al-Shifa Hospital, a claim rejected by the Palestinian Resistance Movement and hospital staff. Shifa Hospital has been one of the main targets of Israeli strikes since the regime began its deadly onslaught on Gaza. The situation remains tense in other hospitals as well.
And you are asking doctors and nurses to move people, knowing that that would kill them. And again, why would you need to move them? A hospital should never be under attack. A hospital is a place, a safe haven. This is agreed under international humanitarian law.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "The Lord Most High has chosen for us certain followers, Shiites, who assist us. If we are joyful, they are joyful. And if we are sorrowful and sad, they are sorrowful and sad."
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى جيل فرج.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really happy that I have Ali Nasir, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hussein Rohullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider once again I really welcome you all. Salamun alaikum, brothers, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, alhamdulillah. Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Fawad?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, and ready to start our today's lesson. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 65 of Surah Al-An'am on page 135. Brothers and sisters, hope you have your Quran with you. Dear listeners, turn to page 135, Ayah 65 of Surah Al-An'am. Right? So, guys, everyone, let's get started. But first and foremost, let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwa al-qadiru ala an yab'atha alaykum 'adaban min fawqikum aw min tahti arjulikum aw yalbisakum shiy'an wa yudhiqa ba'dakum ba'sa ba'd. انظر كيف نصرف الآيات لعلهم يفقهون.
That was nice recitation. So, let's get it started. Firstly, we should mention some of the points related to this ayah very shortly. But you remember that you should refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for complete information, okay? About this ayah. All right?
Yes.
What does Allah Almighty say in this ayah, brothers? Let's take a look. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwa al-qadiru ala an yab'atha alaykum 'adaban min fawqikum wa min tahti arjulikum. O Prophet, say, He is able to send upon you. He refers to Allah Almighty. Allah is able to send upon you a punishment from above you or from under your feet. أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا, or confound you as hostile factions, or like put you into groups. Okay? Put you into groups. وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ, and make you test one another's violence. It means make you into groups. He is able to make you into groups, or to put you into groups and make you fight together, make you kill each other, make you test the violence of each other. Allah has this power, all right?
Yes.
But let's see what does Allah Almighty exactly mean by this. Then Allah says, "Unzur kayfa nusarrifu al-ayat la'allahum yafqahoon." Look how we paraphrase the signs variously so that they may understand. Allah basically, Allah Almighty says in this ayah that one of the tawheed, types of tawheed is tawheed in power. You should, in sifat, okay? Tawheed in sifat or attributes. In sifat or attributes, we have power, we have knowledge, we have, what else? Mercy, we have forgiveness, so different types of the attributes of Allah Almighty. So we believe that Allah has the all
power.
And whoever has power, there's the source of the power is
Allah
Almighty. So we don't have to think like the power that we have is our own power. It's Allah Almighty.
Yes.
Okay? Allah Almighty has put the energy into those food that you eat and you get power. If you don't eat those foods, okay, you can't have power then. Yes? And if Allah Almighty did not create the sun, how would you grow the plants? How would you grow the food? How would you grow the fruit? Could you do that?
No.
No. If Allah Almighty did not create water, how would you water your plants, your farmland? No. So by different means, Allah Almighty tries to tell you that the power is in His hands. He has the all power. Alright?
Yes.
He has the all power. And if the sun and the moon and the galaxies and if the planets and everything in the universe, if they have a movement, okay, it's because of Allah Almighty. Right? If you breathe right now, it's because of Allah Almighty. So whatever we have, whatever power we see in the world, it's because of Allah Almighty. The electricity that you have, okay? It's because of Allah Almighty. Don't think like, oh, that man invented it or discovered it, and it's because he did it. Stop it. Allah has already created electricity, and he just discovered it. Yes? That's it. Guys, here also, in this ayah, Allah Almighty talks about his power. Allah Almighty has the power to give you good things. Allah Almighty has the power to bring you sorrow and grief. Okay? But it depends on us. Sometimes the sorrow and the pain and the sadness that we have, the problems, the difficulties that we have, it's because they are punishments. Punishments to what we have done wrongly. Things that we have done wrongly. The wrong deeds that we might have done in our life. Not only us, a group of people in the community. Because if this group of people in the community, other people also will get punished. Why? Sometimes we have a group of bad people in the community, okay? And so we know these are bad people. So we don't practice Amr bil Ma'ruf then. If we practice Amr bil Ma'ruf, they will be good people. They will turn to be good people. And the community will be a good community. But if we just keep silence because of this group and because of what we were supposed to do, like practicing Amr bil Ma'ruf, and we didn't, Allah will punish us all. We will have different kind of calamities and disasters. But sometimes the sorrow and sadness and difficulties are there just to grow us, just to make us improve. Got it? Just to make us improve. Allah Almighty tests us and wants to give us this understanding that you are able to, for example, tolerate, you're able to grow, you're able to improve and develop. All right? There are many reasons that, inshallah, you can learn them from the Tafasir books. Here, Allah Almighty tells us about he has the power to what? To bring a sorrow and also to bring violence between us. But Allah Almighty does not do these things without reason, without wisdom. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. Let's move on to the tajweed rules. It's time to practice some tajweed rules and also practice the recitation. If you have any questions?
No.
How about reciting a salawat and jump into the second step?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
MashaAllah. So, the very important tajweed rules that we should mention here, I really recommend our brothers and sisters to take notes if they could. So first and foremost, Hussein is going to tell us about some of the letters which are really important to pay attention and pronounce them correctly. Yes. In terms of pronunciation.
Qaf.
Qaf. Good. Qa. Qa.
Ha.
Ha. Huwa.
Ayn.
All right. Before Ayn, the word Qadir, here it's very clear. Qaf is a heavy letter. Qul huwa al-Qadiru, Qadiru.
Yeah.
All right. So whenever you see the letter Alif, the long vowel Alif, Alif Mad, this Alif Mad can be pronounced in two ways. Either you pronounce it heavily.
Or lightly.
Or lightly. Good job. Tell me, when do you pronounce it lightly And when do you pronounce it heavily? Huh, for what?
When there's a heavy letter before it, for example, this qaf.
All right.
Or if there's a light letter before it, the other
like
way.
Like what?
Fa.
Fa. Good job. So it depends on the letter before alif.
Yes.
For example, in this word, qadir, the letter before alif is the letter qaf. Qaf is amongst the
heavy letters.
Heavy letters. So you should pronounce it with an aw sound. قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ. All right? قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ. The word ala, look at the word ala. There's also an alif mad. Ala, a, alif mad. This is pronounced lightly. Why? Because of? Huh?
Ayn.
Ayn or lam?
Lam.
Lam before alif.
Yes.
Yes. Lam is a light letter. So alif is pronounced lightly. قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ. All right. So, the next letter, Hussein?
Yeah.
Ayn.
Ayn. Yeah. Tha.
Tha, yab'atha.
Thal.
Thal. Azaban. Good job.
Then, ha.
Ha. Tahti.
Yes.
And?
And?
Wayudhiqa. Ba'.
Ayn. Dad.
Dad, yes. Ba'dakum ba'asa ba'd.
Hamza.
Hamza, unzur, ba'as. Good job.
Yes. Sad.
Before sad, we have la.
Sad.
La,
yeah.
Unzur, la. All right. Sad, good job. Nusarriful ayat.
And then nothing.
Yeah, these letters are the important letters, so pay attention to them. Good job. Thank you, Hussein. قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ. The word أَن يَبْعَثَ. Two words. How do you read them?
Ayyabatha.
You extend also for two comes, not more than that.
Yes.
Ayyabatha. Ayyabatha.
Yes.
قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ. يَبْعَثَ.
قَلْقَلَ.
قَلْقَلَ. The rule قَلْقَلَ. Fawad pronounces this very well, yes? قَلْقَلَ. That's nice. He is pronouncing the letter قَ correctly. MashaAllah. So, أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ. How do you read this?
عَذَابًا.
عَذَابًا. Merge it with mim. بَن, the tanwin will be merged to mim. مِن فَوْقِكُمْ. How do you read this, Fawad? You hide the sound of nun, yes?
Yes.
مِن فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ. مِن تَحْتِ again. أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَاعًا. How do you read this, Hassan? شِيَاعَوْ. Read that.
شِيَاعَوْ.
أحسن. You extend also. شِيَاعَوْ وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَعْضَكُمْ. ميم ساكن plus با. How do you read this?
إخفاء.
You hide the sound of me. بعضكم بعضكم بأس بعض. Hassan, do you see that qila, a word qila, small, it's written so tiny on the top. What does that say?
This qila tells us that it's better to stop here.
All right.
But you can also continue.
When reciting, it's better to stop here, make a pause here. But if you want it to continue till the end, you can continue till the end of the ayah. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you, Hassan. Unzur. Again, hide the sound of nun. Unzur. With heavy letter. كيف نصرف الآيات لعلهم يفقهون. Very simple. So, ready to recite after me?
Yes.
Okay. We mentioned the tajweed rules. Now we'll practice. Brothers and sisters, listen and practice. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قل هو القادر على أن يبعث عليكم عذابا من فوقكم أو من تحت أرجلكم
قل هو القادر على أن يبعث عليكم عذابا فوقكم أو من تحت أرجلكم
أو من تحت أرجلكم أو يلبسكم شيعا ويذيق بعضكم